ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And the difference here now in Joshua chapter 8 versus their loss in chapter 7 is this isn't Joshua's plan against Ai. This is the Lord. He's doing the leading. The Lord is the one who's going to give them the victory. And the victory in the Christian life is not the absence of conflict, but the presence and protection of God in the midst of conflict. That's what the children of Israel were learning. That's what we need to learn. And the Lord told Joshua, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. And arise, go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai." He spoke, "Our king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." What a valuable lesson here. You know, the first time they did battle against Ai, they didn't seek the Lord, they lost. Now they're seeking direction from the Lord, and as they follow the Lord, they're going to see the victory. In fact, God says, "It's already yours. You just got to go and take it now. I've given you this victory." Hearing and obeying is so, so important when it comes to the Lord. There's a story about an 81-year-old gentleman with no flying experience. First name was Robert, but there was this dramatic and tragic emergency on his little plane that he went. On June 17th, 1998, he and his 52-year-old pilot friend, Wesley Sickle, were flying from Indianapolis to Muncie, Indiana. And during the flight, the pilot stumped over and died at the controls. That's not good. The Cessna 172 single-engine plane began to nosedive, and he grabbed the controls. He got on the radio and he pleaded for help. Nearby were two pilots who heard the call. Mount Comfort was the closest airport, and the two pilots gave him a steady stream of instructions of climbing, steering, and the scariest part, landing. The two experienced pilots circled the runway three times before the somewhat frantic and totally inexperienced pilot was ready to attempt the landing. Emergency vehicles were called out and ready for what seemed like an approaching disaster. Witnesses said the plane's nose nudged the center line and bounced a few times before the tail hit the ground. The Cessna ended up in a patch of soggy grass next to the runway. Amazingly, he wasn't even injured. Why? Because the pilot listened and followed those instructions as if his life depended on it. And it did. Imagine what would take place in the lives of believers if we listened and obeyed God with the same earnestness that our life depended on. That should be a powerful lesson to us. God is not going to have us crash and burn if we follow him. I'm not saying it's not going to be, that it's easy. It's not. That's why we need him. He's going to give us the victory that we need in the situations we face. And the interesting thing here is, remember the sin of Achan, that he took the spoils of the victory that he shouldn't have. That was the sin. He was hiding it from the Lord. And if he would have waited, God was going to bless them, but he took the matters into his own hand and he lost everything. You see, in this battle against Ai, they were going to get the spoils of victory. Not at Jericho, it was the Lord's, the first fruits. But here, they were to get the victory. I wonder how many times we miss the blessings that God has for us because we try to rush ahead of him. Don't. Instructions from the Lord, follow them. You know, God gave Joshua a plan for conquering the city of Ai, and he has to follow it. Not just some of it. Well, I like this part, I don't like that part. No. And as we read on, we'll get to the second point, Joshua's instructions or instructs the people. Look at verse 3 here in Joshua 8, where we're told this. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about, when they come out against us as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them.' Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you." The Lord gave Joshua instructions on what they were to do in this battle against Ai. And now we see Joshua take the word of God, and Joshua instructs the people. How does that even relate to us today? I look at it like this. As pastors, as church leaders, as they read God's word, as they get instructed by the Lord in what to do, they then go and share with the people the message from the word of God. And maybe that's a little simplistic, but why does it have to be complicated? I mean, think about it. Do you really think I'm smarter than God? You don't have to answer that. Of course not. Is anyone smarter than God? No. That's something that's important, but it's being challenged today. We think we know better. And thus, if God knows everything, wouldn't it be wise, wouldn't it be smart to listen to what he is telling us in his word? Of course it's important. Of course it makes sense. And yet, what we see today, this growing trend in churches across America, the moving away from expository preaching or teaching verse by verse through the Bible, we have people's opinions instead of God's word, we have book studies instead of Bible studies. And what happens is, you know, we move to topical studies, which can be okay. There's nothing wrong with a topical study. But if that's all the diet you're on, it can be dangerous. I do like Twinkies, but I don't live on Twinkies. Okay? I guess that's kind of the picture. And the reason this can be dangerous is because the person teaching can take you where they want you to go and keep you away from the things that they don't want you to hear. And the Bible, the Word of God, is a collection of 66 books that have been inspired by God, breathed from God to us. And don't we want to hear all that God has? Absolutely. I mean, imagine being in the army. You're away from your wife, and all of a sudden you get a letter from her. It's 10 pages long. What do you do with that letter? Do you read page 2? Go to page 5. Go over to 1, read a few verses there. Go over to page 10. Are you kidding me? You read that letter from the opening line to the last line. And you probably read it more than once. Why? Because it's a love letter from your wife. And it's that important. Here it is. A love letter from God. 66 books. Don't we want to hear all that he has for us? His love for us. What he desires us to do. Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, you know, we have moved so far away from what God's word says. Now we have people's opinions. Now, God didn't really mean that. You know, LGBT, you know, God accepts homosexuals. We could have them into the ministry. We can marry gay and lesbian people. We have Christian witches now. I don't even know what to say. You know, we have Christian mysticism that is growing. A few months back, there was a conference here in Wisconsin on Christian mysticism. A church hired a Christian mystic. You go, how can that be? If you want to get somebody off course, what do? You take away the map. That is what they're doing. They have removed the map. And now people don't know what to believe anymore. They're listening to what people say instead of what God says. Guys, I hope I don't give you my opinion, because it's pretty worthless. What does God have to say? See, why is homosexuality wrong? Not because I said so. God did. It's not my view on it. What about living together and you're not married? Sorry, God said that's wrong. You see, and you can go through the scriptures and see what's right and what's wrong. people think, well, God's just trying to ruin our fun. Really? Look at what sex outside of the marriage relationship has brought into our lives. The number of sexually transmitted diseases, deadly diseases like AIDS. That's only come about because of not listening to God. And what we've done now is instead of listening to what God is saying, we push that all aside and now we're into social issues. We're for this and for that, and yet we don't believe the Word of God is living and powerful anymore. You know, it's so bad that pastors even put down the Word of God. And they're getting people not to trust what God has said anymore. And it's very dangerous. And this was a couple years ago, but this is what one pastor had to say about expository preaching. And this pastor influences millions and millions of people, okay? This is what scares me so much, is that people are so easily deceived. I don't want you to believe anything I say, unless it's in accordance with the Word. I've told you before, I never want you to say, well, Pastor Joe said. That will get you nowhere. No, this is what God's Word said, okay? That's the most important thing, guys. But again, you would get people away from the map, from the guidebook. You get anything, even Christian, being a Christian witch. I have my Bible and my wand. Yeah, enjoy that, because the Bible's meaningless to you and your relationship with God is not there if you're a Christian. Because you can go to the Scriptures and see very clearly that is not of God. It doesn't take a theologian to figure it out. And that's what I love about our God. You don't have to be a theologian to figure that out. What you have to do is read the Word of God and say, Lord, show me. And you know what He does? He shows you. Then it's up to us to listen and obey. But this is what we're told. Ed Stetzer, whose employer, Lifeway Christian Resources, sells more than a few Andy Stanley books, interviewed the Georgia pastor on the topic of preaching related to his book, Communicating for a Change. What follows is nothing short of a shocking but refreshingly honest and explicit rejection of expository preaching, and although it's not new, is making its way around social media as of late. When I hear the word change, that's always a scary word for me in the Christian life. What do you mean by that? Communicating for a change. You're changing the Word of God, is what, guys. Be careful. This was the question that was posed to Andy Stanley. What do you think about preaching verse by verse through books of the Bible? This was his answer. Guys that preach verse by verse through the books of the Bible, that's cheating. It's cheating. I don't know. It's cheating because that would be easy, first of all. That isn't how you grow people. No one in the Scripture molded that or modeled that. There's not one example of that. Well, the entire Bible is an example of that. And the failure to do so, yeah, it's not good. That's not how you grow people. No, God grows people that way. That's a better way of putting it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by instruction of God. And it's not profitable for doctrine. It's not profitable for reproof. It's not profitable for correction. And it's not profitable for instruction in righteousness. And if you don't want to be complete, then read the Word of God, I guess, because you're complete outside the Word of God. Is that what it says? Absolutely not. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, that's not exactly what Paul meant. Of course it is. Come on. It's very clear. And I know it doesn't speak of expository preaching, but listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 through 31, to the Ephesian pastors. He felt this was the last time he was going to see them. He's trying to encourage them, to warn them about the dangers that are out there with the false teachers and the deception. And he said, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. I find that interesting, after themselves, not after the Lord. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul gave them the whole counsel of God, not just part of it, not a topical message. He went verse by verse. He went through the scriptures. And granted, the word of God was not in chapters and verses at that time, but I think you know what I mean. He gave them the whole counsel of God. And we know what's going on in the last days. This is why it amazes me that churches fall prey to this. Because I don't know, if you're going through the Bible verse by verse and you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, listen to what Paul told this young pastor. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions through the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. We've developed this idea of we need to grow the church. We need to, increase the numbers. And so to do that, we got to minister to the people. We got to reach them where they're at. No. You give people what they need. If you give them what they want all the time, that'd be very dangerous. And our responsibility as a pastor or as a leader is to give people the Word of God. But if you degrade the Word of God, we're telling God, look, we're smarter than you are, right? People say, well, this book was written, so long ago, it was for a different group of people. But today, we're far different than they were. So you're telling God, look, you didn't know what it was going to be like in our day. Are you kidding me? Then he's not all-knowing. And if he's not all-knowing, you see the problem here? We are not smarter than God, guys. Not even close. He also said this, Andy Stanley. All scripture is equally inspired, but not all scripture is equally applicable or relevant to every stage of life. My challenge is to read culture and to read an audience and ask, what is the felt need? Or perhaps what is more important? What is an unfelt need that they need to feel that I can address? So now it's my feelings. Whoa, feelings. Sorry. That's why I'm not on the worship team, okay? Now, some of your ears are getting ready to bleed after that. Sorry. When I'm preparing these studies, do I always like what the Lord is showing me? No. Why? Because it's affecting my heart. Okay? This is something I need to deal with. I need to look at. So if I'm just going to give you what you feel you need or what I feel you need, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be perfect. There's no problems. There's no conviction. I don't have to read a culture. I don't have to read an audience. I have to hear from God. You see how important that is? I realize, I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is so important because we are going to be challenged by other Christians. You can't believe it. Yes, this is the Word of God, but not everything. Really? Then how do we know what's right and wrong? Well, then I have to choose. I have to pick. And that's very dangerous. He also said this, I believe the true defining moment of my life as a communicator took place when I was in seminary. I was asked to do a chapel for the high school academy at First Baptist Church, Dallas. So I got the message all ready to go, and I was going to preach on the story of Naaman. And God told him to dip in the water 7 times and he would be healed. I had all this great stuff. And I was sitting in my one-room efficiency apartment and I was thinking, these kids have heard everything. They go to church all the time. They're not going to remember this. This is just another chapel. What can I do so they can remember this? I am just going to come up with one phrase and I'm going to say it so many times that they can't possibly forget it. So I came up with this phrase, to understand why, submit and apply. This was over 30 years ago, and I still remember it. So I told the whole story, and I said the bottom line was to understand why, submit, and apply. And I said that God is going to ask you to do some things that you might not understand why, but you must submit and apply. I had to say it over and over. 3 years go by, and I'm working in the college department in the same church, and a freshman walks in and says, "I remember you." To understand why, submit and apply. He didn't remember my name. He wasn't even sure where he had seen me before, but it stuck in his head, and I'll never forget thinking, that is what I want to do for the rest of my life. If you negate God's word, then what are you submitting and applying? See, that's a key point. Am I submitting to what someone else has said? Some book that I read? Or am I submitting to the authority of God's word? 66 books God has given us. His love story to us. And what I like about Joshua here is he didn't water down the message. He didn't alter the message. He gave the people the word of God, no matter how easy or difficult it may have been. And that's what they needed to hear. Not the words of Joshua. "Well, I think we should do this." No. "Thus says the Lord." We also see, we see this over and over in the scriptures, but one of the people that my heart goes out to is Jeremiah. The guy's over 40 years in ministry. Warning that judgment was coming. We're going into captivity. The Babylonians are coming. And what were the false prophets saying? "Everything is fine. We're building up the kingdom." We hear that today. Kingdom Now theology. New Apostolic Reformation movement. That's what they're pushing for. We are building up the kingdom of God, and then Jesus Christ will come back. It will never happen that way. If you are waiting for it to, look out. Look at our society today. Is it better than it was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago? No. There is more immorality flaunted today than ever before. Are we making this nation more Christian? Not at all. And we don't make this nation Christian. God does. And he does it by winning hearts to him. We share the gospel message. We see the Holy Spirit open the hearts and minds of the people, and they come to saving faith. And that's what changes a nation. But look at what's going on today. And Jeremiah, wow. Preached the message and is thrown into a pit. All kinds of things. It would have been very easy for Jeremiah to water it down. "Yeah, guys, not looking real great, but you never know." No, he told. Why? Because he didn't let the fear of man drive him. He let the fear of the Lord guide him. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Because you will be challenged. Are you going to be fearful of what man is going to think of you or say of you, and let that drive you to do things that you shouldn't do, or say things that you shouldn't say, or agree with things that you shouldn't agree with? Or are you going to let the fear of God guide you? "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let the word guide you. Let the fear of the Lord guide you. We don't want to be driven like cattle, guys. We want to be led by the Lord. And I look at this world, and boy, is it being driven, isn't it? So how are the children of Israel going to respond now to this message? And that's our third point, obedience to the Lord's instructions. Look at verse 9 here in Joshua 8. "Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai, but Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them at Ai, So he took about 5,000 men and sent them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley." So first of all, again, the city of Ai maybe had some 12,000 people, maybe half were soldiers, fighting men. And Joshua says to send in 30,000 men, or the Lord tells them. So the first group of soldiers were used as ambush against the city of Ai, and they went to the west side hiding out. The second group of soldiers, including Joshua, camped right in front of the city of Ai on the north side so they could be seen. They were the decoys, you might say, to entice the soldiers of Ai to come out after them. And that's just what they did previously. The third group of soldiers, maybe about 5,000, were used to cut off any reinforcements coming to the aid of the people of Ai. And what's interesting here is they didn't doubt what the Lord told them. They went forward and obeyed the instructions that the Lord had given them. When you find yourself in a mess, when you're in sin, was it because you were obeying the Lord? No. And that's always what happens when we disobey the Lord. We get ourselves in trouble and we don't find the victory that we're looking for. And I'm not saying that as we're following the Lord, everything is easy. Not at all. But our obedience to the Lord is so important. And we may not always understand, but can we obey Him?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's Word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's Word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.